Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. As mentioned, right, some people, this is a national holiday, so thank you for coming in on this Super Sunday. The share today is dedicated to L'il Nishmas Harvey's mother, whose yahrzeit is tonight. The name is Fega Bas Chanuch Henoch, and the neshama should have an aliyah. As some might notice, today's share is by invitation only. Or, the way I put it, some of the topics we're discussing are a little bit sensitive, so I made a cutoff point within the yeshiva who could come. Only the oldest Talmidim in the Beis Medrash I allowed to come, but some young fellas I didn't. Today's topic I call Picture Imperfect, utilizing photos in Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Nida. Now, we know in today's world, it's quite amazing. The nature of the world, probably in the past 15 years or so, has totally changed. Basically, everybody walking down the street carries a camera. You think about it, years ago, if you saw someone with a camera wrapped around their neck, okay, they're a tourist. Nowadays, you see events, sometimes all you see are hands. Hands up. Not those type of hands up. But everyone has their camera out, and they're recording and they're taking pictures. The usage of cameras has become so normal for absolutely everything, and it's changed society in many ways. And people today, example, you don't have to go to the bank anymore to deposit your check. All you have to do, if you have the right app, you take a picture of your check, you send it to the bank, and they have it. There are so many things that the person, he has a phone, he can take a picture, and you utilize these pictures for so many average, mundane business things, right? So, in the Jewish world, more and more Rabbanim are getting Shilas vis-a-vis pictures. Really, the impetus for this share, at least part B of the share, was recently someone sent me a shaila, a Hilchos Nida shaila, which we'll get to in a moment. Second part, what exactly that entails. But he sent me a picture vis-a-vis WhatsApp, my phone. Rabbi, can you paskin on this? So I have a lot to say about that. Tune in. But these shailas come up all the time. People sending pictures with halakhic issues, right? In the medical world, right? A friend of mine told me his kid, you know, split his lip, his area here, this. The doctor says, send me a picture. So the patient, you send a picture to the doctor, he tells you how bad it is. Should you go to the ER? Do you need stitches? Not. Some doctors are ready to, quote-unquote, paskin off a picture. So that's what we're talking about in the halakhic realm. Can one paskin, and I pick two areas of halakha, mezuzah and nida, which these are quite relevant, potentially. So could one paskin off a picture? So what I'd like to do today is firstly go through Hilchos Mezuzah and the applications of pictures over there. And then part two, we'll go through Hilchos Nida. Now, firstly, in terms of mezuzah, everyone knows the basic idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to put up a mezuzah on our doorpost. And that's something which is quite amazing. Most Jews, many, many Jews, from all spectrums, you know, not necessarily dependent on how religious you are, a mezuzah is something that people hold sacred, people keep. It's a wonderful that itself is a mitzvah. Plus, we all know there's a special shmira, a special protection people have by having mezuzah up. And it's something that people connect to. I'll even tell you this. I have an actually interesting situation when I bought my house. I bought my house on 171st Terrace from a Gentile. He was known as the Shabbos guy of the block. But one thing quite interesting, when I came into my house, he showed me into this house. It wasn't yet my house. He showed me around. He showed me mezuzahs up on his doorposts. This is a nice African-American man. He did not buy the house from a Jew. His wife owned it dating back, way back. He put up mezuzahs in his house. I don't know who sold it to him. I actually took some down and looked into them. And they were smaller cloths, but seemingly they were kosher. He studied the Bible. He even asked me who my favorite Bible figures were. I remember we had Bible discussions. But he had mezuzahs up in his house for protection, even a Gentile. So Kol Shekein, by us, we have a mitzvah. A mezuzah is a very big deal. Furthermore, I'd like to read to you the words of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim is nowadays known for a lot of these short retorts to people's questions. He answers in one word. But back in the day, we had a little more time. He wrote some extensive svarim. One of the svarim that he wrote, which is not well known, is he wrote on the Masechta Yos Ketanos, a small Masechta in Shas, which also are not part of the Daf Yomi. People don't know them either. And one of them is Masechta's Mezuzah. And he also wrote a sort of a Mishnah Brura, defining the halachas, commentary on the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mezuzah, called Mezuzah's Beisecha. So I'd like to read, it's in the bottom of your sheets, the introduction that he writes to this little sefer that he wrote. He writes, "Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, hine yedua ki mitzvah say the mezuzah mekayim adam kol rega v'rega shikavu bebeiso ki mitzvah tzitzis v'tfilin shekol rega shalovish behem hu ki mitzvah say." And he quotes a Tosis for this. An amazing idea. There are some mitzvos, right? You shake your lulav of an esrog. Right? You could spend a lot of money in your lulav of an esrog. But after that shake, okay, maybe there's some mitzvah involved when you say it during challah, okay. But you're holding that lulav of an esrog for 10 minutes after you shook it. You become one mitzvah. When you have a mezuzah up on your doorpost, you get credit for a mitzvah, a positive commandment, every single moment it's up there. You could be asleep, you put the mezuzah up for the next 50 years. Again, assuming it's kosher, everything's good. You're mekayim the mitzvah every moment. Now that alone is a big endorsement, make sure that we do the mitzvah correctly. Because every moment we have a mitzvah up on our doorposts, we get a mitzvah. And especially if you have multiple doorposts, right? Some people have multiple houses. You get more mitzvahs. So too, though, reading the third line, the chein ha-mevat lo chas ha-shalom, someone who, God forbid, doesn't keep the mitzvah mezuzah, over kol rega v'rega mitzvah se deraisa. You had a chance to do mezuzah, but you're not. So that's also called the lack of observance for really for every moment. You had a chance to do a mitzvah every moment. If it's not written properly, sometimes you do find this person, you could find the mezuzah, I'll buy one off eBay. How to get a mezuzah off eBay? Sometimes they could be good, sometimes not. You have to get it checked in. Rabbi Shaffer says, usually not.
No, you get worse.
Huh?
Sometimes you go to the grocery store and buy any bottles you
want. Yeah, so you have to know where you're getting your mezuzah from, how reputable the person is selling it to you. And if not written correctly, or so too, if it wasn't put up correctly, davi bittul mitzvah say mamish, then you're losing out on this mitzvah. I'm going to skip the brackets because I'm going to come back to that particular case soon. Fishikavias mezuzah mesura l'kol. Now Chaim Kanievsky writes, mezuzah is a mitzvah that everybody has. All Jews. We all have a mitzvah as long as we have a house. And really, I'm not going into all of Hilchas mezuzah today, but you're chayiv in the mezuzah if you own the house, but there's also din of mezuzah when you rent a house, right? You could talk about, you know, when you go to a hotel, you have a short stay, that's not, but, so mezuzah is a mitzvah which all people who have a home are responsible for. And most people are not knowledgeable in all the intricate halachas of mezuzah. There aren't so many mefarshim in the Shulchan Aruch for this. There's no prima gadim. Hey, if in many practical shalos, you have to go through all the modern day poskim. And basically he says, look, I found an area in Halacha which is not so well known, not so well done. And Chaim said, okay, I'm going to write a little kuntres on that. So mezuzah is, we see, is an important mitzvah. You get a mitzvah every moment the mezuzah is up. And unfortunately, if it's not, if you don't have mezuzah up, or even worse in a certain sense, you have the mezuzah up, and it's a kosher mezuzah, it's not put up correctly, which we'll talk about in a moment. So then, you're losing out that mitzvah every moment. It's a big deal. And a lot of these halachas are not so well known. And especially because these halachas require someone to see your situation, to see your case. How, let's go to the most basic of halachas. Where do you need a mezuzah? You need a mezuzah basically on a door frame, right? The two sides of your door frame are called mezuzos. They're called doorposts. And on top of the door frame, that's completing, I guess, the upside down U, that's called the mashkof. Okay? In order to be chayiv in a mezuzah midaraisa, in order to be obligated, you have to have a doorway which has all three. Right? Or in today's terms, think of an upside down in the end zone in the football game, the goal. Right? It has to be three-sided to be a mezuzah. Mechayiv mezuzah. Now that's a simple case. If a simple door frame, three-sided, mechayiv mezuzah. You have, though, today, many cases, especially with newfangled construction and, you know, people like open, airy spaces, and you can have, I'll give you one simple example. You can have sort of within a house, definitely within businesses, you can have cubicles. You can have little areas where the roof is not going on it. It's just dividing half walls, but no mashkof on top. So that wouldn't be chayiv in a mezuzah midaraisa. But you can have many different variations of door frames. You could have one that's one side of the door frame is over here, the other one's over there. You could have one, it's lower. All different modern types of scenarios. So what do you do? So one idea, right? It would be nice if the rabbi makes house calls and you could have the rabbi come to your house, you know, and check out the mezuzahs. I remember I was once invited, a friend of mine was just bought a house, so he was making Chanukah Sabayis, and he invited me as a rabbi to come put up a mezuzah on this, but part of that is also is to sort of see the situation and ask, okay, does this room need a mezuzah? Does this need a mezuzah? So that's a good thing. But one simple way to solve it is just take a picture. I'll take a picture of this doorway and I'll ask the rabbi. I'll send it to the rabbi or even print it out. Rabbi, does this need a mezuzah? So simply speaking, to answer, let's say, a shayla, a question of does this area need a mezuzah? Yeah, Rabbanim sometimes do answer questions just based on a picture. That might be an easier way You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. You know, sometimes you try to convey to a rabbi, I want to tell you how my house looks. Not exactly, you know, some people are very good visually describing things. Other people aren't. A picture is a better illustration of the situation. So you take a picture, you show it to the rabbi, perfect. So for simple, I'll call one-dimensional shilas of just looking at a doorpost, yeah, it could be pictures work for those. But there's a second halacha, or more complex halachas regarding mezuzahs, which is the following. And I'll give this room as an example. The simple rooms in your house, right, which need mezuzahs, right, your room going into the house, going out of the house, the front of the house, the back of the house. Many times within the middle of a house, there's rooms that lead to other rooms. Right? You don't just have a hallway with different bedrooms, which would be easy. Each bedroom is a separate door frame, separate room. So each of those, of course, need a mezuzah. But what about where you have rooms to rooms? Literally this space here in the yeshiva where we're sitting at could be looked at in many different ways. Right? You could utilize this room as a walkway to come in from the back, to walk through here, to go into the lunchroom, or to go around to the base medrash. Or vice versa. You could come out of the base medrash or out and use this to go out that way. It could be utilized different ways. The halacha is you put up a mezuzah on the right side of your door frame. You put it on the right side. So when you walk into a house, it's very clear what's the right side when you're walking into your house. But what about when you have a room into another room? Where does the mezuzah go then? Which side, excuse the pun, is the right side to put it on? Yes?
This room has two more complications. This wall and that.
Yes. Yes, that is true. This particular room is more complicated. I wasn't even going into that, because this wall can be taken down, and during Yamna Run, this is used as the women's section. That wall can be taken down, and it's one big room, right? Gets quite complicated what exactly this room is. Yes. But I'd like to read to you the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which I just quoted. You'll find this on the top left of your page. Shulchan Aruch, Yerodea, Simon Reish, Peites, Sif Beis. The halacha states, "V'tzarech l'koveil yimin hanichnas." You have to put up the mezuzah on the right side when you come in. You have to put it on the right side. Why on the right side? So the simple idea is we find in Chazal that wherever you turn, the normal focal point is the right side. You turn to the right. The Ramah adds the following line. Some people might be scratching their heads. I always go right. He says, "Ve'ein chilag beinim hu iter yad olo." It doesn't make a difference if you're a righty or you're a lefty. And Rabbi Kiva Eger over here says, we're not, right? We know when it comes to, let's say, the halachas of tefillin, tefillin is dependent on whether you're a righty or you're a lefty. If you're a righty, you put tefillin on your weaker hand, on your left hand. If you're a lefty, you would put it on your right hand. What happens if you're confused? You're ambidextrous, you're righty, you're lefty. So Rabbi Sharfman, I think, has a beautiful share on that. You can check the website. But the Shulchan Aruch points out there's no difference if you're righty or lefty. Why would you think so? So Rabbi Kiva Eger adds, we're not talking about right-handed or left-handed. We're really talking about right-footed or left-footed. Where do you normally go out? Where's your step? I'm thinking of, I asked guys when I was showing this to the guys in the basement, I said, to play basketball, which side do you go? Do you go right, do you go left? Where's your first step when you run? So, the halacha points out, it doesn't matter if you're righty or lefty. Firstly, they give a reason that even if you're a lefty, but A mezuzah is not put up for one individual. The mezuzah is put up for the whole house. So just because you're a lefty and you normally look left, other people in the house look right. But then they ask, okay, you like these questions. What about you have a whole house of all lefties? Not so strange, you know. These things probably are in the genes. Right? If you're a lefty, the odds are your kid might be a lefty. I don't know about your wife, but okay. So, opposites attract. Who knows?
Right.
Huh? So, the Shach adds, okay, even if you have a house full of lefties, the difference between here and tefillin, he says, because tefillin is a mitzvah on your body. It's a mitzvah shebegufa. It's a mitzvah for you to perform with your body. The whole nature of mezuzah is totally different than that. Mezuzah is a mitzvah on the house in general. So it's not an issue that we look at your individual preference. You go right, you go left. It's a mitzvah which we put up on the house. So Chazal set up, you know what? Actually, Darshan a pasuk for this. It's derech biyascha, ko bios, abios, everywhere you come. So a mezuzah always goes on the right side. Always goes on the right side. Regardless, doesn't matter, you go left, you go right. Mezuzah is always on the right side. Right? If you remember, there's also halacha in Hilchas Hanukkah that for those who put the menorah outside their door, they're supposed to put on the left side of the door. Because since on the right side you have a mezuzah, on the left side you have a menorah, and then a person is surrounded by mitzvahs. Such an idea in Hilchas Hanukkah. Getting back though to the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, the imkava mismol, but if you put up the mezuzah on the left side, psula, it's invalid. This is a psul d'oraisa, Mefarshim say, and the Gra adds this is psul even b'di'evad. Even, you know, does this work? You know, stuck? No. Nope. Totally possible. Yes?
How do you know which way is
the way? So that's exactly what I'd like to talk about. So according to this halacha, you have to put up your mezuzah on the right side. Again, that's easy to do when it's the door of your house or the door of a room leading into a bedroom, an office, a space, that's clear. But many times in the middle of a house, you have doorways into rooms. In those areas, where do you put up the mezuzah? And if you put it up, you assume it goes on this side, but really it goes on the opposite side, you will not be yotzi the mitzvah and be batal. That means, for example, on this doorway, the mezuzah is on the right side coming from the outside in. If one would think, you know what, better way to put the mezuzah would be on the right side over here, the right side looking this way, instead of the right side the other way, that would be possible. So that's a big deal. That means every moment that mezuzah is up the wrong way, you're losing out on mitzvah. So that's why the clarity in these halachas is very important. Yes?
Isn't the ikar mitzvah on the axis into and out, inside and outside?
So we'll talk about that. Yes. That is one of the factors that was looked at in determining it. Yes? Yes, that's an excellent question. Right. You know, as you're putting a mezuzah to your backyard, so right, there's a difference perhaps in a backyard where the backyard has an exit out, or the backyard is a self-contained room. Yes. Do you come in potentially from the backside or not? Is that considered like another way into your house? Or is that viewed as its own sort of patio garden area, which is another room in the house? So that's a perfect example. If you view your backyard as just another room, the mezuzah will be on the right side going out. If you view the backyard is used as another way, really an entrance into your house, so then that would more be viewed as a way in, and it'll be on the right side coming in, not going out. So I don't want, there are, really we could spend a lot of time on all these halachas and mezuzah. They're quite complicated. And I just want to put out there this very important basic idea that you have to know which side of the frame to put up the mezuzah. If it's put up on the wrong side, then it's possible. So think about this idea.
About inside here, which kind
of what?
About which side of the post? Which on the inside of the post? Let's say your front door.
Right. Okay, that's a good Florida question. You're right. That is not as dangerous as this shayla. The shayla of whether you're putting on the front part or the back part, I don't think is as likuva as this shayla. You know, these Florida doors, which many of them open on the outside, so that does get into trickier things. Where do you put the mezuzah? So many people will say you should really put it still on the outside, even if it's off to the side, not literally flush on the door frame.
It could be. Selmer's house has a thing, mezuzah, not a real mezuzah, on the outside it says mezuzah inside.
Okay, right. So that's part of the reason. Part of the tricky thing of potentially putting on the outside is people think there's no mezuzah there. So that's why I guess he has a sign to tell you, Mr. Mezuzah knows where to put it. Yes. I've seen a lot of interesting things over here in Florida with these Florida-made doors where they open outside. You see many different ways they put it. But you can look here, you know, in the yeshiva they have, I think one of them right outside the gate, they have it also sort of on the outside or some other spots. They're not necessarily so simple, right? This particular one is on the inside part. But that door, most of the time, is open.
It's supposed to be on the inside or it's supposed to be on the inside?
Regular door, it should be on the outer part of the door frame. Right. But again, this is not as likuva as which side of the door frame. Now, yes?
Assuming this was a perimeter wall.
Yes.
You have two doors.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible one of those is on the right and one's on the left?
No, that would sound contradictory.
If one's in, one's out, then maybe.
Huh?
One, like in our kitchen, they have sometimes one door that says in and one that says out. And there's a pit and a doorpost in the middle.
Fascinating. You're right. If you set up the flow of traffic that one would go in, one of those doors would go in, one door would go out, perhaps then you could have them on different sides. But you realize the contradictory nature of having two doors next to each other, one on the right side, one on the left side. It's quite, you know. I've also heard of scenarios that brought down the halacha of cases where it's really a suffix, which one to do, and people putting up two mezuzahs, one on each side. That even the people who wear two pairs of tzitzis or put on two pairs of tefillin, not necessarily a good idea to put up two mezuzahs. Yes, there are some shitas in halacha that talk about such a case, but others do attack that it looks weird, that doesn't make sense, it might be Baal Tosif, and it's a tricky thing, putting up multiple mezuzahs on one door. Yes.
There's also scenarios where the room has to be particular shear, size.
Yes.
Mezuzah on a closet.
Correct.
So you could have scenarios where a room, even though it looks like you're going from this room to that room, it's very clear which way you're going, but that room may not be big enough.
Right,
that
correct.
Room doesn't have a shear, so the mezuzah would go opposite because there's no key of mezuzah going that way.
Yes.
The other way.
As you can see, the halachas of mezuzah are complicated. Yes.
You know, in the Torah, it tells you where you should put what you should put, for example, on Hanukkah. Hanukkah, you say, which way should I put the mezuzah? Because it says, by Yehimi Kates, Vasayim Yamin. So Sayyid is Shin Nun Yud Ben where it is. And it's Smol Neros Tasim Yamin Mezuzah.
Psh, is that a Baal Turim?
It'd be Baal Turim.
Beautiful. Excellent. So that's a remez that the Torah would allude to where you put up a mezuzah, where you put up a menorah. Correct. But it definitely is complicated, many of these cases with all the halachas and mezuzahs, exactly where to put it. So what do you do? So I'll send the rabbi a picture. Hey, rabbi, here's a picture of my house, mezuzah. So here's the problem. You send me a picture. I could see the door frame. I could tell you about that door frame, where that door frame needs a mezuzah. Maybe tell me the square footage of the room, or what the room is used for. Then I could tell you there might be a black and white halacha where there needs a mezuzah. But if you have a room within a room, I can't just see a picture and paskin on that. I have to know what that room is used for relative to the rest of the house. I have to know the flow of traffic, how it goes in your, how people utilize your house. You're going from this room into that room. How's that work? That you can't just tell by a picture, maybe a video. But just a still picture won't give you, the rabbi, enough information to pass on the shayla. Now, you could give a voiceover. You'll tell him, I'll explain to him the flow in this. Okay, if he's comfortable that he got the picture, again, pun intended. So, okay, you could pass him off that. But many times, these things are quite complicated. And a picture just won't cut it. I'll tell you an interesting story. Years ago, in Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim, when they first had their newer building in Rehov Yam Suf, so they had multiple shilohs about mezuzahs. So they're strong shaychus to Rabbi Yoshev, that's all. So they asked Rabbi Yoshev the shilohs. Rabbi Yoshev says, I'm coming down to the yeshiva to see. One day, Rabbi Yoshev came to the yeshiva, to Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Moshe Chaitz, that's all, and from Kinnerik, Shlita, took him around the yeshiva, the dorm, showing him all the different spots, and he passed him the shilohs. Just an interesting side story. I know somebody told me. He came around, let's say 11 o'clock, the middle of the morning one day, came around the yeshiva. Some guy in the yeshiva, poor guy, wasn't feeling well, he was sick. So he gets, it's 10:30 in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, he's in his bathrobe, he's coming out of the bathroom, he's like half asleep, and all of a sudden he sees the two Rosh Yeshivas, who are not necessarily usually up there in the dorm, together with Rabbi Yoshev walking around. He thought he was really sick. He didn't know where he was. It was also quite embarrassing. This chashva, young bacher, years later became a big Talmud Chacham, and he actually did shimush by Rabbi Yoshev. He actually learned halachas by Rabbi Yoshev. I think he was a little bit nervous the last time Rabbi Yoshev saw him. He was in his bathrobe in the middle of the morning seder. But he's coming around the yeshiva. But really the best thing, you know, is for a rabbi to make a house call and actually see the scenario, see the thing. You know, someone just told me, they heard me talk about this topic. They said, you know, of a certain big Rav Posek, he says, he feels sorry, but he can't pass on off a picture. And his schedule's too busy, he can't make it out to the houses. It's very hard to pass on these types of shilohs. You need to see the layout of a house to really get a better picture.
A video would be a little better, huh?
Yeah, a video would be better. But again, even a video, you have to, you know, really show the scope of the house and more of the usage of the house. So the rabbi, the rav who's passing the shilohs, has to get a feel what exactly is going on over here. How to utilize the traffic, the flow of a house would make a difference. Are you putting it on the right side, or the left side, or the right side going in, the right side going out? Yes.
With more modern technology, there are programs that allow you to do a walk through a house. They do it for online tour of the house. They do a 360 room. There are a lot of.
Is it computer generated graphics, or it's like a live? Right.
The computer program stitches together the video of an entire room into a 360 view.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There are a lot of things that can be done as technology progresses.
Correct. But no. So the way I'll come out with mezuzah, there are some you could utilize photos to some degree in Hilchos mezuzah, but you have to know mezuzah is a little more complicated than just a still picture. And there are many other aspects that the Rav has to know in passing the Shaila. It could be you could verbally tell it to him. It could be, like you said, you could have a video. You could have something like that could add to it, and that might be enough. But the point I'm trying to portray is there needs to be more information than just a still picture for a lot of these Shailas. Yes?
Even if the Rav Rav, let's say, comes to the house, if you just moved in and you see it's physically set up one way, but you don't know how you're going to use it, you've never been in the house yet.
Excellent, excellent, excellent point. Right? If you bring your Rav to the house the day you purchase the house, where it's totally empty, and you show him, I've been on tours, oh, you know, I remember they showed me yeshiva before it was built, you know, fully built. Oh, this is going to be this, this is going to be that. If you see a room without furniture, without life, it's not the same. And really, you bring up, you made me think of another point. People, even if they're not renovating their whole house, but sometimes they change rooms over, right? You have an older kid, they're married, they moved out. You're changing the flow, you're changing the usages of rooms, perhaps different areas, that could change too. And just putting out there, when you're remodeling, when you're changing the usage of a house, don't just focus on the color scheme. Helchus mezuzah is an important aspect. And, you know, I saw one Shiloh being asked, let's say I'm remodeling my house, I can make the walls in a way which wouldn't be chayiv mezuzah versus one that is. Do I have to make it in a way that it is mechayiv mezuzah? Interesting question. Not so pashut. You may not have a chiyuv to make it specifically in a way that is chayiv mezuzah. If you happen to like the layout where it's more open and wouldn't have a mezuzah chiyuv, you could do that, perhaps. But very, very interesting shilas in modern houses and mezuzahs. So that's part one of the share. Part two, I think, gets more complicated. First, let's go over the halachas of Hilchos Nida. Now, in general, part of the topic is, you know, it's a good week to do it. The weeks before, we did a Rashi Tevis before, was offered. So the weeks, starting from Parsha Shemos through Mishpatim, if you take all the letters of those weeks, it adds up to Shovavim. Shemos Ve'era Bo B'Shalach Yishlo Mishpatim. And those weeks are brought down in Svarim that it's the opportune time of the year to chazer and work on halachas of Nida, of Taras HaMishpacha. Now, I am nervous, you know, they put these videos online, who knows who sees these things. Probably, you know, I saw someone bring up a good point recently. You know, the media in the world today, you know, doesn't respect religion. Just even going back to 15, 20 years ago. And there's been, you know, unfortunately a downward shift here in America. You know, if I didn't give a share on this topic, abortion might have been a good topic this week.
Sure.
Following some states' laws and stuff. For that, too, you could look at Rabbi Sharfman, has a few shirim tackling that topic. But, you know, recently with this whole episode, again, I don't want to get into any political statements, but the thing with the kids, Covington, who were attacked by the media one way with pretty shoddy journalism, not really seeing the whole scenario, and they were attacked, you know, quite strongly for their, you know, white,
supremacist,
you know, religious beliefs. Really, that's something that any Orthodox Jew, you know, we're right there. There's a big target on us. And halacha in general has to be explained clearly. And especially halachas which are so sensitive like this, Taras HaMishpacha, things that are involving the purity of a Jewish home, are things which are not easy to explain, definitely not to the masses, but it's something which you have to get pretty a big picture of the beauty and the sophistication of these halachas and not get caught up in nitty-gritty, which could seem obsolete and religious fundamentalist and oppressive, whatever words the New York Times would describe if they ever unfortunately wrote a piece on Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha. So with that background, let me gently try to clarify these halachas in the most basic forms. We know a woman has menstrual cycle during the majority of her life. And from the time that she's married through menopause, so she would be subject to this cycle. And when she is in Nida, when she's having her period, she would be forbidden to her husband. That's the most basic din, Hilchas Nida. How do you know, and our rabbis set up guidelines and different things, when she is in Nida, she's also to her husband, and she has to sort of go through a process of becoming clean to be mutter again, to be permitted to her husband. How do we define when a woman is mutter or aser, permitted or aser, or prohibited to her husband? So that's based on a pretty sophisticated system of judging the discharges from the woman. Judging the color of the discharge that the woman has will determine if she is mutter or aser. Fascinating. The same way, you know, we, again, obviously, as an example, the same way that we have halacha's understanding of something as kosher or treif, we have halacha's, we just talked mezuzah, chayim mezuzah, not intricate halacha's, so there are halacha's of understanding when a woman is mutter, when she is aser. And it depends on the color of the discharge that she has. She basically has to go through, after the way they call, she does an internal bedika, an internal checking of herself. It appears on a cloth. And if it's a color which is permissible, so then she has count 7 days, again, doing some checks over that time. And if the all stays clean, so then she is mutter to her husband. If she spots, if she has a color which is unacceptable, then okay, then you have to redo the counting. Obviously, these are delicate halachas and touching on something which is sensitive, and people obviously are uncomfortable. Some might feel ashamed. Definitely, the 21st century word is it's quite awkward. But that is part of religious Jewish life. And the process involves, if it's a questionable color, showing it to a rabbi, to have it being paskened. So by far, if there would be a way that we could sort of get around these awkward steps of showing some cloth with a specimen of a discharge from a woman to a rabbi, as you know, the woman herself presenting the rabbi with this, or her husband presenting, if we could just have an anonymous picture I'll send to the rabbi, to some anonymous rabbi, and get an answer, that'll be amazing. And as I told you, I got one the other day. But unfortunately, it's not so simple. And I'll explain why. What colors, what's the halacha? So if you look on the back of your sheets, Siman Kuf Pei Ches, right? This is all somewhat clear, as I'll explain in a moment, halachas and guidelines. Dinei Maros Adam, what colors of blood of a discharge would be usher, the halachas be for a woman? Komara Edom, any red discharge. Beinu Mukia Harbe Ol Amok, whether it's light, it's dim, or where it's very deep and strong, Tamein. If it's red, it's Tamein. Hechein Komara Shachar, so to something which is black. That's not the normal discharge color of a woman. But you could potentially have such a case. If it's black, that would also be problematic. That's also deemed to be blood. If the entar el mara lavan, if it's a white discharge, the chain mara yarok, or green, afil kimara hashav, even if it looks like wax, o hazav, or gold, The koshikin hayara kikarsi ol asavim, and definitely be permitted if it'll be green like vegetables or grass. The shach over there, when he describes shav, it's like yellow. He describes it the yellow of an esrog or a chamon beitza, or the yolk of an egg. But here, in the basic Shulchan Aruch, it gives guidelines. Say, hey, if it's red, any shade of red, that's a problem. Black is a problem. If it's white, if it's yellow, if it's green, not a problem. You look at the first Shach. Shach writes, Min HaTorah ainat me'al hei mini maras. Min HaTorah, there only five shades, which would be aser. Hachachamim hechmiru shol litos bein dom ledom. V'also komar hanot lad mimos. And the rabbis came, and they said, it's very complicated to figure out exactly what is red and what's not. And the rabbis asked more things, as the Pasuk says in the Torah, bein dom ledom, bein din ledin. Between different shades of blood is not so easy. So the rabbis added on other things. However, v'echshiru komar she'ein l'sof kabad ha'musklal. But they makshered anything when she has no suffix. What it is. So obviously, by dint of the fact that the rabbis had to, and this is, in this area, in some ways more than other areas, the rabbis look, they're not looking to make life more challenging. Pumfarker, just the opposite. They're looking to make it more permissible, more easy. So if they had to add on, quote unquote, other colors, it's only because it's so complicated to figure out what exactly is that shade. If something might be red and the woman might still be in nida, so that's a big problem. That means she's really not permitted with her husband, and that would be a union which wouldn't be permitted in the Torah. So the rabbis have to be careful. Okay, let's make sure that we got it right. Now, this is the basics that the rabbis tell us. The Shulchan Aruch tells us it's got to be, if it's red, it's a problem. If it's gold, it's not really gold. Or Moshe has a whole tshuva. Even a hefsek, you would be machmer. The poskim talk about brown. Brown being a problem, just like red, just like black. Maybe not as bad as red, in between. How do you know what these colors are? So I'll tell you. One of the things I was zocha to do years ago was they got training in this area. I got shemesh. Shemesh is something where you want to become a rav, you want to become a posek, so you need hands-on training. I was lucky enough, I did shemesh by three poskim separately on this area. Two of them were close talmidim that heard it straight, got it straight from Moshe Feinstein. Third also got from Moshe Shita, but he's the next generation. In training to do this, probably, but without exaggeration, just in the training, easily you see hundreds, if not thousands, of these different swabs, different swatches, different colors, and you compare them, and you get a feel. Obviously, some people are more natural than others. You know, if you're colorblind, it ain't going to work. But there's so many nuances to understand what a color is. It's very complicated. Especially the other halachas they go through. The colors could change. They could change in so many different scenarios. I'll give you one. I'll give you three. You look at one of these maros, one of these bedika cloths. If you look at it in a room with light, it looks one way. If you look at it outside in the sunlight, it looks totally different. You're supposed to paskin with the sunlight. That changes the look. If you look at it when it's fresh, it looks one way. You look at it a day later, it looks different. It looks different a day later versus 4 days later. The color changes. Yes. It's turned which way?
As blood gets older, it turns brown.
Right, right.
It's a natural.
Right. So these things are very, very time sensitive and subject. The halacha of is the difference between hilchas nida, between a bedika, an internal investigation a woman has, versus a stain that a woman has. The size of how much would aser is different. One is even for a bedika, it's a tiny drop. For a kesem, for a stain, it's bigger than that. Size of a dime, penny. So you have to know all these things. To measure it, this. So actually in preparing the share, I was made known there is an app which some wonderful people came up with. You know, obviously, these, as stated before, these are delicate, sensitive areas. So someone came up with a sophisticated app available on any smartphone. It was that you take a picture, and they have a specially trained camera app to get a good picture. And boom, just take a picture and send it to the rabbi. This app was heavily advertised on Jewish social media. And I'm sure there are many people utilizing it. And again, the people involved in this, both the people who started it, I'm sure as there are a few rabbinic haskamas, I'm sure they're all well-meaning people. However, at the same time, for someone who's been in the business, it's quite hard to understand how you could rely on such a thing. Even this app, the way they promote it, is it's bidyeved. If you don't have a rabbi to ask and you're stuck, utilize your app. Now, many people, we know what disclaimers, you know, you don't have to sign the bottom of the disclaimer after you read it. You just, you know, that's probably not utilized like that. But even for the way they want it to be utilized, it's very, very hard to say such a thing. I researched it by J. David Blythe, from writes extensively on modern halacha, connected with Yeshiva University. Came out, it's out there. He came out with a clear statement, was interviewed about this app, and was very strong against it. Hmm. I personally spoke to another posek who also expressed very strong feelings how such an app, you know, that would not work. Because since it's so delicate and so, it could change, literally, this is what you call kechut hasara, from a hair's breadth. You can't rely on a picture. Someone gave me a good mashal. There are many mashal. You know, people heard I was talking about this topic, so it generated a lot of interest. Someone told me how they sent a picture to their doctor about something. You know, same other thing. And that's Dr. Rosenbaum in Miami Beach. And he screamed at his patient. He's like, this picture is horrible. Look at your kid, look at the picture. Is it the same? Mm. Can't tell from that picture. Somebody said, go to Best Buy, see all the, you know, that's what they're selling today, Super Sunday. All the television screens. Look at them, they're on the same exact, watching the same exact Super Bowl. The colors from one screen to another, are they watching the same thing? There's a tremendous degree of variation. And here is where color matters. So how could you rely on something? End of the day, with all their advancements they have in the app, have you ever seen somebody sit there by a wedding, the professional photographer? Okay, smile! Using, you know, these cameras are a little bit, they're more advanced than the flip phones. But nobody's taking professional pictures at a wedding using these cameras. They use real cameras. And even real professional cameras, to get it exactly the way it is, the lighting, the room, the this, it's so hard. So that's why these things are so, so difficult to paskin just by a picture. Really, the right thing to do in this area is like all types of halacha. If you understand the nature of the halacha and you understand that this is an important thing. This is one of the, you know, you talk about Shmirah Shabbos and Taharas HaMishpacha. You say those in the same sentence. It's a big thing. It's a big mitzvah. It's a definitive mitzvah as a Jewish person. So you want to get it right. And there are many discreet ways, you know, the many Rabbanim nowadays that take drop-offs. Right? I happen to have a box in front of my house. The mailbox is locked. 1230 Northeast 171st Terrace. But there are others in this neighborhood. You could even just drop it off. You don't even tell, write your, you know, just write a cell phone number. You could get a return text. It's that easy. You know, okay, there are scenarios where it may not be able to just to drop off a small bedika cloth. You might need, it might be a stain. You have to show a stain. Okay. But you know what? You know, as a practicing rabbi, you've seen it all. Like, you get, when you go through hundreds, thousands of these things, the same way, look, your wife goes to a doctor, so this, you know, is the same, if not so much better. You know, it's a rabbinic thing you have to paskin on. So with both of these areas, I think the conclusion that we have is modern technology definitely gives us added means to introduce halakhic shailas. And really, if we could get by, in many areas we could, right? You have a shaila, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, before Shabbos. You could text it to your rabbi. The rabbi is texting. Rabbi, what do you say about this? Right? Where's Rabbi Shaffron? I have kashra shailas. I'll text somebody a question. Is this acceptable? This. We could use modern technology in many ways in terms of halacha. But we also have to know, right now it only goes so far. And Hilchos Mezuzah, it might be able to go somewhere. Probably get you to the 50-yard line. Half the time, you might be able to ask questions, show door frames, show scenarios with pictures, still pictures. But as we presented, there are some issues of the layout of a house, which is hard to get in a one-dimensional picture. And so too in Hilchos Nida, when you're judging colors, really the best, and more than the best, the only way to do it is to show the live specimen to a doctor. There are cases people send these, FedEx them to Rabbanim to get. I remember in the summer, I was here, and it seems like a lot of other Rabbanim were not. I was getting people driving quite a bit to come down. People heard that I deal with these things, so they come down. Oh, it could be I was the only post like south for sure of Atlanta, maybe even Baltimore, you know, to deal with these things. So it's, there's no comparison, you know, the same way you wouldn't, as you, excuse the medical reference again, the same way you have, you need a doctor to see you, you wouldn't just use a web doctor and, you know, describe something if it's something of serious nature. Well, halacha is no less serious. And just to do it of convenience over an app is not the way to go. Thank you very much for listening. And Hashem, see you next week.